Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. My name is Chris Reeves, the host of this program, brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. And we're glad that you are listening this morning in this Sunday morning lineup, because this is the first time that we have been on the radio on Sunday morning. This program has aired for the past few years on Saturday morning, 1400 a.m., and now here we are, 105.1 The Wolf, and we are coming to you this morning hoping to bring a Bible study program each and every Sunday morning for your benefit, and we hope that you will enjoy hearing God's Word on various topics. I will be bringing topics from the Word of God, lessons and familiar stories and accounts from the Word of God. I touch on current events from time to time, things that are going on in our nation and even around the world, and what does God's Word have to say about that? We discuss things from the Old Testament and from the New Testament, just a variety of things. We deal with religious matters, moral matters, ethical matters. We deal with life in general and things that God's Word has to say about that. And so we hope that you will benefit from the Let the Bible Speak program. We invite you to come to services. We are open during this pandemic. We are safely distancing and using a protocol service that would be safe for you. We would like to have you come visit. Some churches have been shut down for a long time. I've talked with a number of people who have said that they would like to go to church somewhere, but they cannot. Here's your opportunity. We would love to have you. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. If you need assistance in coming to be with us, if you'll call the church number, 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. And set up that. We can set that up with you to help you make it to the service. We have a website. If you would like to check out our materials, and you can watch our services on Facebook. The sermons are recorded. That's wbcoc.org, wbcoc.org. Our motto is, where we speak the truth in love. That's taken from the book of Ephesians, and we want to speak the truth in love. We invite you to come worship with us, 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, 6 p.m. Sunday evening, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. And we have a worship that is according to the New Testament Christianity. We're trying to aspire to be New Testament Christians in the 21st century, and we would call upon you to come help us with that. So you're always welcome. The Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. The program that we will bring to you each Sunday morning, it's called the Let the Bible Speak program, and I want to talk a little bit this morning about why we call it the Let the Bible Speak program. Why is it important today to let the Bible speak? Well, you know, many people want a message from God, and especially during this pandemic and the problems that we've been having this year, a lot of people will say, well, I really wish I could hear from God. I need a comforting word from God. And God indeed has spoken. And we know from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God speaks, and He's spoken all through time, beginning with Adam and Eve, all the way down to the first century in His Son, Jesus Christ. And the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, that God has at the end of these days spoken unto us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things. God speaks to us through Jesus, and Jesus speaks through His apostles. in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7 and following. The apostles have the mind of Christ. They are inspired to speak His words. And so, in the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation, we have the message of God through Jesus Christ and His apostles. And even in the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, we have God's Word. And even though that Word, that Old Covenant, was spoken to the Jews and was a covenant for them, we don't tear it out of our Bible. There are many good things that we can learn even from the Old Testament. But when we turn to the Bible, we're letting God speak to us. Now, this morning, I want us to consider the importance of getting out of the way and letting the Bible speak. You might think that that would be something that would be obvious today, but really it's not. A lot of times the Bible gets clouded and obscured and in some cases outright vetoed by individuals. They want to let their words speak instead of the Bible speaking. And so what we're going to do this morning on the program for just a few minutes, we're going to consider the importance of letting the Bible speak and not letting other things get in the way. When other messages of men get in the way, then God cannot speak through His Word. Friends, I'm so glad that you have joined us today. And if you stop and think about it, you don't want to get up each Sunday and hear man's opinion. You get that all week long. You get enough of that as it is. You don't want to hear human philosophies and opinions. You certainly don't want to hear lies and things like that. You want God's Word to come to you in a clear and plain, unadulterated way. You know that that is really going to help you in life. And so it's our goal, it's my goal as the host, and it's a challenge for me. I must guard myself to let the Bible speak and not let myself even get in the way. But a lot of times, things get in the way, and they don't let the Bible speak, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. There are several of them that I'd like to look at on our program. First of all, we cannot let the Bible speak when we're listening to human traditions, human philosophies and ideas. Human traditions, whether they are just simply spoken or even written down, sometimes they're called creeds, religious creeds and confessions. These traditions of men are not from God. And Jesus even had to deal with that in His day in Matthew chapter 15, 3 through 9. The Pharisees were letting their traditions get in the way, and they were not worshiping God properly. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul says, "Be careful that no man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. So we cannot let the Bible speak when we're letting religious human traditions get in the way. Traditions and creeds of men and women contain more than the Bible in some cases, and in some cases less than the Bible. And so we're not interested in any of that. We're not interested on Sunday morning giving you some particular religious tradition that goes back so many years. We want to let the Bible speak. Also, sometimes so-called latter-day revelations get in the way. We cannot let the Bible speak when we're listening to these so-called latter-day revelations. Various religions claim that God spoke to them long after the Bible was written and recorded. And so we have a new revelation that has come along. Well, we can't let the Bible speak when we're listening to that kind of thing. And even Paul warned about that in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Paul said, and this is not long after the first century. This is within the first century. There were those who were trying to preach another gospel. And what did Paul say? Galatians 1, verse 6, "Marvel that you are so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema or accursed. As we have said before, so I say now again, if any man preaches unto you any gospel other than that which you received, let him be anathema. That was so important for Paul that he repeated it twice, close together, twice. Don't go after and listen to someone preaching something else. And Paul even says, though we or an angel from heaven. A lot of religions that claim to have these so-called Latter-day revelations claim that an angel appeared to me. And there are Latter-day revelations in various religious groups. Muhammad in the Quran claimed that he got that from an angel, and Joseph Smith claimed that he got the Book of Mormon from an angel. And there are those types of things that come along, but Paul said we're not to listen to any of that. And so if we're saying, well, this so-called Latter-day Revelation says such and such, we're not letting the Bible speak. God's word is complete, 2 Timothy 3:17. It was once for all delivered, Jude 3. God chose after the closing of the 27 books of the New Testament not to reveal more Latter-day revelations. He chose to cut it off there with Matthew through Revelation. That's it. And we don't have Latter-day revelations. And so we don't need to let those things cloud what the Word of God really says. We want to let the Bible speak. When you let the Bible speak, you're letting God speak. And that's the important thing. I need to step out of the way and let God speak. He's a reliable guide. We know that it will be true because it's from God. We know that it will be reliable and trustworthy. We know that it will be the very thing that will judge us in the last day. It will be that which will be the standard of our judgment. We know from Revelation chapter 20, for example, there toward the end of the chapter, that the books will be open to judge us. That's the books of God's Word, and that are in the Bible. And so it's going to judge us. It's our guide. It's truthful. It's reliable. It's from God. We want to let the Bible speak. You know, sometimes we cannot let the Bible speak when we twist the scriptures and make them say what we want them to say. Sometimes people will read their Bible. They'll quote from their Bible. They'll read a verse in their Bible. Preachers will preach from the Bible, but a lot of times they will twist that scripture to make it say something else. So scripture twisting is often done by preachers and scholars and other individuals. Well, what's happening is we're reading a Bible verse, that's true, but when we start twisting it, then it becomes our interpretation and it becomes man's word. So if we speak, we need to speak as of the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4:11. We need to speak as the very word of God. So quote it, read it, but don't take it out of its context. Don't twist it to say something that God did not intend for it to say. And Peter actually warns about this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, talking about things that Paul had written. Peter says, wherein are some things hard to be understood, not impossible. There are some things in God's word, not everything, but some, and not impossible, but hard to understand. That's true. Through more study and digging in, we can understand even those difficult things. But Peter says, which the ignorant and unsteadfast twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Some of the older versions say rest, which means to twist, to contort, to take something out of passage, to make Bible words mean something that they don't mean, to take something out of a context and ignore what's written above or below it, to take it out of its historical context or doctrinal context. And so we can't do that. We've got to be very careful about just quoting a verse and then twisting it. When we do that, we do not let the Bible speak. Also, what I would call modernism. Modernism is, in a sense, actually pretty old. Modernism was popular around 1850 to 1900, for about 50 years, when modern science began to be used in various aspects of life. Some people said that if something can't be proved scientifically, then it cannot be believed. And so if you can't prove the resurrection of Jesus scientifically, then we shouldn't believe that. If you cannot prove Jesus walking on the water or Jonah being swallowed by the great fish or the resurrection of Jesus or Jesus feeding the 5,000 or whatever the case might be, if we can't prove that scientifically, then we can't believe it. And so the Bible, during what was called modernism, the Bible was reduced to just simply a product of man. The Bible was no longer viewed as the inspired Word of God. There's no such thing as prophecy, where you can foretell the future and predict the future. There's nothing like that in modernism. Well, modernism did not accept what the Bible said as true. Modernism would not accept Bible miracles or Bible inspiration. And so the Bible was a combination of some facts and a lot of fiction, they said. Well, that was the opinion of scientists and scholars and even some religious scholars in the late 1800s. But we're still seeing the products of that even today. And modernism gave rise to postmodernism, which was the idea that no truth can actually be known. No truth is fixed. It cannot be known for certain. So we have postmodernism today. But those types of things attack the Bible. And when we come to the Bible with a modernistic or postmodernistic thinking, we can never let the Bible speak. We believe on this program that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. As Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture inspired of God. Inspired there means literally God breathed. We hold in our hands the very words of God. Now, in another lesson, we can demonstrate evidences for the Bible being the very Word of God. That'll have to be the subject of another lesson. But that's our approach on this program, okay? And men were moved by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1:20, to reveal the Word of God. And so miracles, the supernatural, the inspiration, all of these things are true. That's how we approach the Bible. We don't approach it as simply the words of man or a combination of facts and fiction, and we have to go down through the Bible and figure out which one is which. We don't approach the Bible that way. But many do, and when they do, then obviously they cannot truly let the Bible speak for itself. You know, we cannot let the Bible speak when we are listening to ourselves and what we want to hear. You know, a lot of times we are talking when we should be listening. Maybe you, when you were younger, got in trouble at home like I did for talking instead of listening to mom and dad. And we need to learn to listen. We need to open our eyes and our ears to the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said that he would speak to people in parables because a lot of times they did not want to hear and see the Word of God and the truth. Matthew 13, verse 15, for this people, quoting from Isaiah, this people's heart is waxed or grown gross or thick, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again, and I should heal them. Quoting Isaiah, it was going on 700 plus years before the time of Christ. Many people don't want to see and hear the truth. And so they close their eyes off to that. there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end of that way is death. Proverbs 14:12. Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 10:23, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. When Saul of Tarsus, before becoming a Christian, when he was persecuting Christians, Acts 26:9, I verily thought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. A lot of people think and feel and trying to go by their own way. And people just look on their own heart. You know, I'm just going to follow my heart. I'm going to follow it wherever it leads. And that's a problem. And we have so many cases in both the Old and New Testament of people who did that, and it was to their ruin. And so we just simply need to do what God tells us to do. In the Old Testament, there's a great story in 2 Kings chapter 5 of a man named Naaman who had leprosy. And Elisha was willing to heal him, but he had to follow the right prescription for that healing. And when Elisha told him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan, he didn't want to do that. And in 2 Kings 5:11, Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of Jehovah and wave his hand over the place and recover the leper." I thought he was going to come out and do this. This is what I wanted. But he's asking me to go dip 7 times in the Jordan. I don't want to do that. And then he said, "Well, maybe I could pick a different river. There's some rivers up where I live that would be better than the Jordan River." And he had to learn, no, that's not going to work. You've got to do what Elisha tells you to do. And when he did that, 2 Kings 5:14, his leprosy went away. We've got to get ourselves out of the picture, what I think and what I feel and what's on my heart. We've got to, as hard as that is, we've got to get all that out of the way and just simply let the Bible speak to our lives. I don't know how many times I've had good Bible studies with great people, but when it comes down to it, they don't want to set aside their feelings for the Word of God. I hope you, friend, will set aside all of these kinds of things and just simply let the Bible speak. One other thing, we cannot let the Bible speak when we attempt to silence the message. And we have a First Amendment right in this country to speak, even if we didn't have a First Amendment right. There are many places around the world where you don't have that. We could still speak the truth of God's Word. It might be under more persecution than we have here in the United States. But I've seen some things recently in this country where people are trying to shut down free speech. You'll see that with big tech companies and other kinds of things. If you try to say something, not necessarily religious in nature, although I think that day is coming, but you try to say something about politics or you try to say something about various things that are going on in our society, we've seen it even this year, where certain messages are taken down. They're not approved of such and such company, so we're not going to let them be presented. And so there's the silencing of the messenger. That happens in different areas. And sometimes it happens in religion. And when that happens, people are not wanting the truth of God's Word to get out. Many refuse the message, and so they try to silence it. And when Jeremiah was presenting his word from God to Jehoiakim, the king, in Jeremiah chapter 36, we find that the king wanted to take that message and burn it. And so the king was sitting in the winter house in the 9th month, and there was a fire in the brazier burning before him. And it came to pass when Jehudi had read 3 or 4 leaves or columns of this scroll, the words of Jeremiah the prophet, that the king cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was in the brazier until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was in the brazier. And they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Well, later in the chapter, God reveals his message again through Jeremiah. Baruch, his scribe, writes it down. And so the king is not able to get rid of the word of God anyway. Not only that, but Jeremiah added more words to it. So God has a way of keeping his message heard. And you can get rid of the message like he tried to burn the scroll. But God's word lasts forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord abides forever, Peter says. And you're not going to be able to get rid of the Bible ever. You just can't do it. And you can try to get rid of messengers. They stoned Stephen to death, Acts 7, verse 58, when he was preaching the word of God. They stoned him to death. But others took up the cause, and the word of God was spread. There will always be those in the Lord's church, the Lord's kingdom, a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. There will always be those who proclaim the word of God. And you can try to silence it, but when you do, it's not going to work. And when you try to silence something, you're not letting the Bible speak. You're not letting God speak to your life. We can physically shut our ears. We could turn off this program if we wanted to and just not listen to it. We could do a lot of things, but the Word of God is still there. We need to face it. We need to love it, obey it, apply it in our lives. That's the very thing we're going to face in the judgment day. We would do well to do that right now. Well, do you know that I find it interesting that when you talk about the Bible, it's one of the most, if not the most, printed book in all of the world. More copies than any other thing that has been written. And yet, many people will not let the Bible speak in their life. I would say many, if not most, people in America. We have about 330 million citizens in this country. Many, if not most, people in America own and even carry a Bible. But do they let the Bible speak? A lot of times it just sits in their home. It's not opened. It's not read. Friends, let me encourage you to be better than that. The Bible is sometimes people try to silence it. Sometimes people try to veto it and say that their word is better. Sometimes people try to set aside. A good test is when the Bible is read, do we say, yes, but? That's a good test. Do we say, yes, I'll do that? Or do we say, yes, but, and then try not to do it? Friends, let's be content to simply let the Bible speak in every area of our life, home and family, the church life, personal ethics, morality. Let the Bible speak, and we know that when we do, we will be right with God. I'm glad that you've joined us for this first edition on this particular Sunday morning program. We look forward to, Lord willing, many more editions, and we're glad that you've joined us, and we'll hope that you'll have a good day.